5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to your daily dose of facts to fight off the liberal gaslighting.
You can be in the middle of a hurricane.
You have sanctuary in the city of Chicago.
Or you can be on a calm day. North is still north. You could be in a thunderstorm.
I am angry. We are not going back. Not ever.
North is still north. People can yell at you.
The hell with the Supreme Court. We will defy them.
North is still north. It doesn't change fundamental things. And in this business, right is still right, even if you stand by yourself.
We don't get fooled again. No, no.
Live across the fruited plain and from sea to shining sea, we're converting the Marxist left 1 hour at a time on the Wendy Bell radio program.
Well, hello, America, and beyond the fruited plain, welcome home to your source for common sense conservative values. 5 busy days a week, 15 broadcasting hours of fabulosity for you. This is the Wendy Bell Radio Program. We're thrilled to be with you. So it seems like this whole, there's a maelstrom out there. It's cooking. Everything's falling apart. Everything that they try to throw at Donald Trump is sliding off the wall. The pasta ain't sticking, friends. It is fascinating. We have Julie Kelly coming up on the program, hour number 3. Do not miss it. If you haven't gotten our podcast yet, super duper idea to get. Wendy Bell Radio, wherever you get your favorite listening materials, give us a download. Join our family, 2.5 million downloads strong and growing. We're going to talk about this cataclysmic unraveling of this lawfare against Donald Trump. And we're going to start with a little sobering reality check, all right? We'll do that right after the most important part of the show. So welcome home. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. I will say, as crazy as everything is in the world right now, I have a really warm, like, percolating going on inside of me, because I believe that sanity and reason and common sense and tradition and family values and what is right is going to win this race. I really do. And I'm not talking politically. I'm speaking just about who we are as a people, what we care about, the things that matter to us. And all of these fires that are burning in various parts of our country, most of them trying to burn down Donald Trump, they're all doing the exact opposite thing. And the smoke is ticking off a lot of people. We're getting tired of everything in our personal lives falling apart as the people who allegedly were elected to represent us and their minions just go out and every single day spit in our faces and flush our money down the toilet and then lie to us and tell us that everything is okay. And that if you don't vote for them, there's something wrong with you. But I had a great conversation, wonderful times with my family this past weekend. And I was talking to my sons about their dreams when you grow up. I mean, and a couple of them are already. And you ultimately, God willing, if there's not, you know, if every woman out there who's between the ages of 20 and 30 is not a freaky liberal, and you find a nice Southern conservative woman and you settle down, how many kids do you want? Just pie in the sky. What would you think? Every single one of them, I didn't talk to Jack, every single one of them said 4 or more. 4 or more. Now, coming from a family of 7, that says something to me about our parenting. The boys have enjoyed being among 5 brothers, and they see that as a pattern for them in the future. Now, if you ask millennials to, not millennials, Generation Z today, so this is what, 1997 to 2012 born, all my kids fit into that category. How do you feel about having a big family? How do you feel about moving on, about the American dream? They're scared to death because it's slipping through their fingers. And I want to say to them, no, you hold on to what you want. and you go after what you want, everything will fall into place. Don't you worry about it. But I wanted to share with you, this is what Generation Z today, who Joe Biden thinks he is appeasing and courting by waving his magic wand that is illegal and unconstitutional to just evaporate all of this student loan debt, which makes it just shift over into your priority list. This is what they're up against, right? Did you know that Generation Z right now is holding credit card debt that is 25% higher? 25% higher today than it was just in the last quarter of 2023. Did you know for these folks, if they wanted to rent a two-bedroom residence, home, or apartment, it's cheaper to do so, to rent than buy, for 89% of them. And that's crazy when you consider the median rent for that kind of a place is $1,987. That's up 22% compared to the last 4 years. Now, income for the Generation Z folks only ticked up about 2%. Since 2020. Generation Z credit scores have crashed since the pandemic. Over 50% of them say they are, quote, extremely worried about not having enough money. Well, no kidding. Nearly 70% say their financial situation isn't looking good. 39% of Gen Z earned money doing all sorts of different things, working both a job, full-time job, and even a side hustle. And over the past year, nearly 3 out of 4 say they've changed their spending habits because they can't afford to make ends meet. Generation Z, nearly 4 in 10 say they've experienced a financial setback, causing 27% of them to borrow money from family or friends. More than half, 56%, say they don't have enough saved to cover 3 months of expenses if something goes haywire. Fewer than half, 48%, are fully or even mostly financially independent. When have we said this, ladies and gentlemen, in our lifetime? How about this? Just 24% of Generation Z feel confident the economy is going to improve, compared to 41% in 2021. They're not buying what you're selling, Joe Biden. 32% feel confident the job market's going to improve. That's compared to 46% in 2021. No confidence. Fewer feel equipped to save for retirement. That's just 45%. Or invest in the stock market. That's a joke. Generation Z's top priorities, you might ask, include furthering their education, advancing their career, or increasing their salary, maybe getting a new job. What? It's not about protesting. It's not about abortion. It's not about social justice. No, they want to survive without mom and dad. Zoomers in America report the least positive outlook and the highest level of mental illness of any generation in American history. Other than that, everything looks great. See, if we're going to agree that a country is only as strong, is only as resilient, as bright, as amazing as its youngest generation that's entering the workforce, if we agree on that, and we should, we got a generation in crisis here. And the people who've put them in crisis are the Democrats. Joe Biden and all of these idiots in his administration who check boxes but don't have mental brain power to do the job have summarily flushed the future for these folks down the toilet. Now, look, this is something that's encouraging to me. We have something to talk about coming up in the program. And it has to do with Disney. I'm probably going to give it away now, which sucks, but okay. You know, I used to love Disney. Not because of the princesses, not because I grew up there, not because I wore a tiara and I had a... Right? I enjoyed it because my sons grew up there. That was where we vacationed. And it was, in fact, magical. Expensive is nuts, but magical. And then they ruined it. Then they got involved in things they ought not have. And then they got behind all the wrong people. Then things went sideways and America's parents awakened and said, you know what? You don't share my values. My family values. Our family values do not involve dudes pretending to be chicks, dressed up at the magic castle, magic kingdom, wearing gloves and holding a magic wand, meeting people with facial hair. Family values don't include going to the cliffs of insanity and jumping off, which is everything LGBTQIA plus blah, blah, blah. The majority of us are apathetic about what other people are doing because we're busy. And then they force you to get involved. Our family values didn't really care about drag queens because drag queens did their stuff in bars and in adult clubs. And it was considered performative art. And some of them are amazing until they wanted more. They wanted extra. They wanted to start fiddling with kids and spreading politics and other nonsense we don't support. Campus protest is fine. You have a First Amendment right. But trashing a university, canceling its commencement for students who've worked for 4 years, many of whom will come out more than $100,000 in debt, is unacceptable. And our family values repudiate that. Look, the reason I started talking about Generation Z today, these are the people who must have big families, who must go out there and remember what it's like to be a couple, to experience the joy and the uncertainty and the fear of what being a parent is. But what we're doing is we're flushing away a generation's hopes. And with those hopes goes the family. That's the predicate of today's program, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to explain how it's connected in the moments ahead. When we come back, sometimes you can't make it up, my friends. Are we done with the crazy yet? Well, remember all those Confederate names that got changed for George Floyd? People want the names back. Oh boy, next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. You know, I'm not going to forgive and I'm not going to forget the ridiculous, you know, unhinged bandwagoning in the name of George Floyd, the ultimate hero for nobody, right? What a role model. What an upstanding guy. What a law follower, right? Let's make him a martyr. So after that happened, $2 billion worth of damage across America, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, rioting, whatever. It was mostly peaceful. Right? How many different monuments and statues came down? Because, you know, that changes everything. It was some of the dumbest behavior that I think a lot of us watched during that year. I mean, the idea that dismantling a statue of Christopher Columbus or Thomas Jefferson or George Washington or whomever is going to move any kind of stupid progressive needle, it just dumbs down your mental acuity. So it makes me feel better when I see this from justthenews.com that at least in one town in Virginia, folks there overwhelmingly say, hey, we want our Confederate general names back. We want them back on our schools because you lunatics, you went haywire. We didn't condone it. And so now we're going to reverse the damage. I feel like that's so much of what we're doing. We need to go back and reverse a lot of this negative damage that's been done. So here's the story. Restoring history. Movement to return Confederate-linked names to schools garners traction. I think that buries the story in the headline because it is so much bigger than that. So here's the story. The movement to restore these names of Confederate military leaders on schools is getting traction in a Virginia county, with the school board set to vote on the matter this week amid fierce oppositions from minority groups. I wish these minority groups would be so active to call out the Democrats who have disappointed them, who've used them, who've lied to them, manipulated them, and kept their knees on their necks for generations. Alas, we'll focus on this. Stonewall Jackson High School and Ashby Lee Elementary School were renamed Mountain View High School and Honey Run Elementary School after the Shenandoah County School Board passed a resolution in 2020 that condemned racism and affirmed the creation of a, quote, inclusive environment. That's as dumb as the Boy Scouts changing their name, which they've done. And we're going to talk about that later. Now, these schools officially started to go by their new names in the fall of 2021, and they dropped $305,000 to do it. Because, you know, that's money well spent. You can't tell me that the $305,000 to change the logos and the signs outside and all the papers and the, you know, mailing stuff, that couldn't have been spent elsewhere better. Well, this is the part that got me, all right? They didn't hold public hearings. They had a wacko liberal school board wave a wand, said, oh, it's racist. We've got to get rid of these racist Confederate names and put these other stupid names on here. Well, so there's a petition going on, all right? A survey sent to more than 8,500 residents in the district. And this district feeds both the high school and the elementary school in question. Of the 8,500 people who received this, 1,160 people responded. How many do you think overwhelmingly said, we want our Confederate names, our heritage, our American history back? What do you think? Maybe 50%? Or 60%, would that be good? How about 91.3% of the people? 90, what, this is called the restoration of common sense. That's what this is. This is moms and dads and grandparents saying this is so dumb. We've run out of ways in which progressives can ruin our communities. And we're taking it back. So sit down, and you sniveling school board members, shut up, because we're in charge. Without our children, you don't have jobs. So how about you put a sock in it? That is what is going on. Why is this so important? Crazy doesn't last. You can't negotiate with crazy. You can't reason with crazy. And the people who fall into the vortex of crazy, obviously, are struggling. And they find some sort of belonging in a movement, no matter how noxious, no matter how toxic or destructive. It gives them purpose. Look at what these protesters have left behind on these college campuses. Aren't these leftists supposed to be big environmental people? Aren't we worried about the climate and worried about our imprint on it, our footprint, our impact, right? Did you see what they left behind? Filth, destruction, broken windows, spray paint. There was a World War I monument that was just defaced. Crazy doesn't understand history. Crazy doesn't have family values. Crazy knows crazy. And it's scary if you see one of your kids drifting off to crazy. I think what we're up against here and what we're going to see in the months ahead is a major, major reboot. We need to get back to the factory settings. We need to get back to the times where moms had babies and raised their kids and dads worked, right? Girls can have careers. We can. We do. But it doesn't make me old school to say traditional family values work, because they do. We look at the Asian community, we look at the Mormons, we look at the Mennonite and the Amish. What do they do? What's the secret sauce? Well, it's faith and it's freedom, but it's family. When we come back, my friends, don't believe what you see on these campuses, all right? Because our kids aren't falling for the madness either. In fact, they're hardly paying attention. Wait, what? I got the details next on the Wendy Bell Radio program. Yeah, I would be so furious. I would be so beyond furious if one of my son's college graduations, specifically after COVID. I mean, let's think about this graduating class, the class of 2024. These kids were the class of 2020 in high school. They got shafted. Royally shafted. certain moments in life that might not matter to you when you're 50 or 60 or whatever, but they're formative. They're important. It's the memory. It's the photograph of prom. It's the senior week. It's certainly graduation. And the class of 2020 and 2024 now lost all of that. So now for selfish, ignorant, brainwashed, and infiltrated activists setting up shop and setting up like chop zones, chaz zones, whatever those stupid things were during the Summer of Love, which were just mangy, grungy, dirty, angry, destructive people getting together and begin and believing that they were above the law, setting up on college campuses and creating such a mess now that the schools have had little recourse but to cancel graduation. First of all, I think there's always recourse. I think this works. Get the hell off our lawn. Get out. I think that works. That works, doesn't that? That works for you. It works for me. You have a bunch of namby-pamby, vanilla white bread, rice cake, flavorless, spineless people in positions of power making gobs of money as the head of their universities and colleges who aren't standing up to the suck and saying, you know what, crybabies, get the hell off our campus. We have graduation to set up, and you've already trashed the grass. So you would think all of these college kids, oh my gosh, they're brainwashed. How could you possibly be out there protesting on the side of terror and chanting death to Jews? I mean, like, really? It's easy to have that be your smoke in your eyes and have it burn and make you angry and lose faith in this generation, Generation Z. But that's not what's going on. They've been co-opted, as you well know. So Axios. It totally freaks me out when I'm telling you stories from Axios, which are kind of reasonable. I'm like, what's going on with you people? Here's the headline, exclusive poll. It's like breaking news. It's really never, ever breaking news, right? Most college students shrug at nationwide protests. What? I mean, like, is that just a few? Is it a lot? It's the vast majority. So issues college students say are most important to them. This is interesting. Number one, healthcare reform at 40%. I didn't peg that. That's interesting. 40%. Number two, educational funding and access. They want free stuff, probably. Number three, economic fairness and opportunity. Four, racial justice and civil rights. Five, climate change. Six, gun control and safety. Seven, immigration policies. Down at eight, national security and terrorism. That should be up higher. That's at 15%. In dead last among kids polled in college is the conflict in the Middle East. And furthermore, the majority of the students polled say they're annoyed by the people who've co-opted their campuses, have destroyed property, have ruined their graduations, and they want them prosecuted. It's called law and order, consequences, rules. You know what your traditional family values taught your kids the same way your parents taught you. College protests against Israel's war in Gaza are dominating the headlines. Only a sliver, though, of students are participating or view it as a top issue. This is a New Generation Lab survey shared exclusively with Axios. Now, the poll hints that the war and the accompanying protests might not hurt Joe Biden's election prospects so much among young college voters, or young voters, I should say, as much as previously thought. That's not why I'm interested, though. What's the number of students? 1,250 college students polled. Only a small minority said they've participated in either side of the protests. 8%. 8%! We are watching something that is High School Musical. I thought that the January 6th Unselect Committee, that that was theatrical. Poor theatrics, right? Everything we see happening in Congress seems similarly. This that we're seeing on the college campus, along the same vein. The students aren't participating. They go to watch, and then they move along and do other things, but they're not in the throes of it. You know who is? Have you guys seen what's going on at Princeton? Gosh, we thought Harvard got a black eye with that Claudine Gay piece of work, serial plagiarist, and all the other people who never get fired, never get consequences, you know. Well, you're the president of one of the elite universities in the country, in the world, and you faked your own dissertation and stuff. I mean, look, try not to do it again. Really? Students get caught doing that, they get bounced. Stat. I want you to hear some of this. So Princeton, some of these students at Princeton, they've gone on a hunger strike. Are you guys really worried about the nutritional values of hunger with these kids who are disrupting graduation now at Princeton, which has been put on the back burner? I say let them starve. Well, that's very unfriendly. I don't care. Go ahead. Let's see how long you got, you little sniveling twits. 17 students on a hunger strike at Princeton as graduation ceremonies are roiled by the Gaza protests. All right, so before we get into that, I thought you guys should have a listen to these wizards of genius occupying, I guess, at least some footprint at Princeton University. Cannot tell you that this person is a student or not. I'm going to say, judging by the first soundbite, I'm going to go with no, but who knows? So here's somebody launching this hunger strike, one of 17, I guess it is students, who is bemoaning the fact that the university just doesn't care. They don't care that we're not having our nutritional needs met, and we'd like to have some gluten-free stuff, and maybe some vegetables, maybe some farro, maybe some quinoa. Maybe some bottled water, spring water, please. Listen to this genius bemoaning the fact that the university is not negotiating with these freaks who've interrupted everything. Go.
Us as strikers, we will continue to starve until they meet our demands.
Okay, us as strikers, well, that is a very, very poor grammatically structured sentence. Clearly, you are not a Princeton student. It would be we as strikers. Let's proceed and we get past that English lesson for these kids. Go ahead.
In addition, I would like to note that the administration is also lying to the media. To the media, they have announced that they have been consistently sending their own doctors to come to our area and monitor us hunger strikers and monitor our health. This is a lie. They are not monitoring our health. They are not keeping track of our vitals. They are not at all taking care of us in any regard. They have only sent a spokesperson from UHS twice to give us informational pamphlets, but they are not at all taking care of us in any regard. And I want to make that very clear that they are not caring for us.
What?
That they do not care for us.
Oh.
And they are lying.
Oh. Okay, so now there's that Generation Z that I'm hopeful for. She's not a member of it. She hasn't been entered into the club yet. They're not caring for us. They haven't sent any doctors to monitor our vital signs. What if we die? Oh, boy. There are some people who needed to be spanked far more than they ever were. Again, traditional family values. We need to get back to the basics. You've got to love when people who decide to be malignant, who decide to protest something that really does not impact them in the moment, right? Who decide to be a spectacle, who want to grind down a university's operations, who want to steal from the already robbed from class of 2024, the basic dignity and the joy that their hard work has earned them. to stand out in the baking sun listening to a keynote speaker drone on for 45 minutes, to just walk across the stage, shake somebody's hand, grab an empty thing that makes it look like you have a diploma inside, smile for a photograph, and then tuck that away in your family album of memories. We don't care if you're thirsty. I don't care if you're hungry, because that's part and parcel of a hunger strike. Where does it say that it's incumbent upon the realistic adults of the world to take care of you when you suck? Because it doesn't.
And it's their choice. They're making the choice. Why do we care? Why should you get doctors because you're an idiot?
Stop making sense. Look, you don't have to be a mom. You don't even have to be a conservative to see that this is so ridiculous. I have to read this for you. This is from AOL.com. This is a quote from one of these sniveling students. Our hunger strike is a response to the administration's refusal to engage with our demands for disassociation and divestment from Israel. First of all, who the hell are you? So sit down. We refuse to be silenced by the university administration's intimidation and repression tactics. Now, wait a minute. So they've just decided not to pay attention to you, and you're saying that you're being silenced. Last time I heard, you're the one who's talking. You're the one who's creating conflict, not the university. And by the way, refusing to talk to you and negotiate with crazy does not equal repression and intimidation. It's called good parenting. Good parenting. And you should be spanked. We struggle together in solidarity with the people of Palestine. Show me Palestine on a map. We commit our bodies to their liberation. One striker said in a video statement posted, come on. We're going to sacrifice our bodies.
If I had a food truck, I would park it right outside of them and let all the students get free meals in front of them.
You got to open up some like fire pits and start cooking some steaks and being like, oh, this smells good.
They better be vegan steaks.
I'm so sorry. You guys are hungry over there. Sprouts, anyone? Quick timeout. When we're back, how about this? Parents suing a woke school board because of what they did to their kid. What did he say? He called immigrants illegal and got suspended. What? Next on the Wendy Bell Radio Program. Parents are ticked. Parents are done. You know, you can sit in the back shadows for a while, and I understand that. A lot of people aren't confrontational. You know, it's not in your nature to get involved in other people's business. I think this is an epidemic among conservatives. And it creates the illusion that we don't care. But that's not true. Because conservatives work, and they work hard, and they care, but they don't meddle. We're not known for launching letter-writing campaigns, right? We're not known for activism. We're not good grassroots people because we tend to be busy. And I think a lot of conservatives I know, they do things that are beneficial, that are behind the scenes, that are in the shadows, that don't get a lot of credit, and certainly not any headlines. But you reach a point where you're like, look, I can't sit here and watch this anymore. This is the cycle of insanity is over for me. I'm tapping out. And now I'm getting involved. And it's usually when somebody fiddles with your kid. And let's hope it's not in a destructive way, but somebody who's fiddling with your kid's mind. And that's exactly what happened to the student who was suspended for saying illegal aliens. That's what they are. You can play your little semantic games, and Ketanji Brown Jackson can ascend to the highest court in the land and be incapable, which is really unwilling because it was politically incorrect for the left at the point, to talk about what a woman was, right? So ridiculous. I'm not opting into these games. And these parents of this young man aren't either. Here's your story. Daily Caller. Parents sue school board after school suspends student for saying illegal aliens. Oh, watch out. The Liberty Justice Center just filed a lawsuit against the Davidson County Board of Education Tuesday. This is on behalf of 16-year-old Christian McGee, who was suspended after using the term illegal aliens in class. This is where the teacher needs to be re-educated. Look, sister, or whomever you are, stop it. A press statement released by the LJC, Liberty Justice Center, calls out the North Carolina School Board for allegedly violating McGee's rights to free speech, education, and due process. The lawsuit argues that not only was there allegedly no basis for the teen's suspension due to the protection of the First Amendment, but that the infraction on McGee's academic record should also be removed. See, it's not just about sending a message. It's about sending a message and then destroying a child's life. We're going to do everything we can to make your life a living hell. That's the crazy. What is it about progressive, Marxist, socialist, communist, leftist? Why do you have to be crazy? Because there's some things that we would negotiate, right? We would negotiate things. Do we believe that there should be pathways to come into this country? Absolutely. They should be rational. They should be reasonable, understood. They should be enforced. What do we have? Of course, 8 million people we don't know who we're all paying for. We'd like to have reasonable conversations about abortion. I think most of us would agree that we're not comfortable meddling in the decisions of a woman. You've got to do you. But when you go crazy and you suggest that, you know, if you have your baby and you don't like them, we'll just take care of it for you. That's crazy. We don't negotiate with crazy. This is well beyond the scope of education. Even though Christian asked a factual, non-threatening question about a word the class was discussing, the school board branded him with false accusations of racism. Again. If everything in the world is racist, if calling somebody who's in this country illegally an illegal alien, if you're racist, then okay, guilty as charged. That's crazy. That's a waste of our time. If you focused ever, you leftist wacko school boards, on actually the children, on doing the best to create the next generation, to do your part, not to indoctrinate, not to groom, not to hold hands over to the transition closet, not to be somebody who can intercede on behalf of parents and manipulate our students. Like if you can't do that, get the hell out. So the parents are suing, and as well they should. This is where we are. You got people out there who can't afford food, who are working two jobs just to tread water, just to not to get ahead, not to save, not to dream, not to plan, but to survive. And you're going to waste our time by going after a kid who says illegal aliens because you're a freak? That's crazy. Return to family values. We are not extreme. We are reasonable. And reasonable people don't negotiate with insanity. I mean, speaking of nuts, holy cow, what's coming up in the next hour? Is it possible that suburban women are seeing the light? And they're leaning towards Donald Trump? Wait, what? What's next? Dogs and cats living together? That's crazy. All right, I got it for you. Do not miss this. And get ready for Julie Kelly coming up in an hour. You're listening to the Wendy Bell Radio Network.